So today we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 15, called The Yoga of the Supreme Person, and verse number 8. So I'll say the word for word. Sing once, say the word for word for Shariram, the body, Yat, as Avapnoti, gets Yat, as Chapi, also Utkramati, gives up Ishvara, the Lord of the body. Grihitva, taking. Etani, all these. Samyati, thank you. Goes away. Vayu, the air. Gandhan, smells. Iva, like. Asayat, from their source. Shariram yad avapnoti yad chapya utkramate shvara grihitva itani samyati vayur gandhan ivasayat shariram yad avapnoti yad chapi Utkramatishvara Grihitvani Samyati Vayurgandhani Vasayat Shariram Yadavapnoti Yachapi Utkramatishvara Gridvaitani samyati Vayurgandhani vasayat Shariram yadavapnoti Yachapyutkramatishvara Gridvaitani samyati Vayur Gandhani Vashayat. What is this? Shariram Yad Evapnoti Yad Chapi Utkramatishvara Gritvaitani Samyati Vayur Gandhani Vashayat. Shariram yadavapnoti yachapyutkramatishvara grihitvaitani samyati vayurgandhani vashayat. Translation: the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Purport by His Divine Grace Issu Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change this body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit his body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. Om Agyanati Minandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Once again the verse. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So, within the purport, we find Prabhupada mentioning, I would like to start with the reincarnation. It's quite obvious in this verse, as well as the purport. Prabhupada is mentioning how we decide which type of body we get according to our karma, and also according to the consciousness we have at present at the time of death. We know the verse where in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the last phrase is Ante Narayana Smriti. So the goal is to remember Krishna at the end of life. And in this way, here Prabhupada says, if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in order to associate with Krishna. So, I was discussing how this nice analogy is made by Krishna. Krishna makes many nice analogies, I find, in the Gita. One is the change of Dehinosmin verse. Dehinosmin yatadehe. It's like the second most quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada from Bhagavad Gita. The first most quoted verse is Sarva Dharma Parityaja, and the second most quoted verse is Dehi Nosmin. And so, through the Gita, many nice analogies are made. Here's another one. So the Dehi Nosmin verse was also relating to reincarnation. It's also, I think, the verse where Prabhupada has lectured very often on, and also often quoted. There, in Dehinusmin Yata Dehe, he's comparing our change of bodies with the change of bodies we are having at present. So from boyhood to youth to old age. So these are all changes we are going through. And similarly, the soul changes also from another body, in the same way as we change other body in this lifetime. The only difference would be that we remember somewhat of our boyhood, youth, and so here in this verse, this particular verse, Krishna is again making a nice analogy, saying the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. So, it's something, again, we can visualize, and especially if you're wearing garlands, and especially in ISKCON, we get a daily notion of this, aromas of flowers. These particular flowers are very good smelling. So, Now these conceptions, well, we were discussing a little bit with, I was discussing with Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu about what does Prabhupada mean, or what is meant here by conceptions. Prabhupada in the purport mentions a few things that so the present activities, they are making the future body, and he's talking about in the last end of the before last sentence, saying that it is stated here that the subtle body which carries the conception of the next body develops another body in the next life. So the subtle body is the carrier of these conceptions. Now, several conceptions in general, we came to the conclusion that these conceptions what Prabhupada is of Krishna is talking about are the conceptions of how we see this, our vision towards the world. So a conception, for example, could be this body, that I am this body. This is a misconception also. So for most of us, when he written here conception, it's often misconceptions that we are. I mean, we have also some correct conceptions, and Krishna consciousness actually brings these correct conceptions towards us. However, we also have several misconceptions, because if we would be perfect, then we wouldn't be here, because then we would be qualified to be somewhere else. If we think we're perfect, then we should introspect a little bit, and then we'll find surely find the reason for why we are here. And most probably a misconception about this world, about ourselves. Another misconception is that we own, for example, matter. Like I have the misconception I own this watch, for example, and so these misconceptions, they are prevalent. And this morning we heard from Srila Prabhupada how he was. I still remember he was pulling out his hand like this, and he was saying, "In order for us to become qualified and to receive." The qualities to go to spiritual world, we need to take out, because we have a hand with other attachments and misconceptions. So in order for us to able to go to the spiritual world or to get something good, he was saying, we should remove what we have in order to get something else. We cannot get, let's say, rasgulas on top of a handful of stones. So we need to throw away those stones, and then we can get those rasgulas. Otherwise, we won't be able to. The rasgulas will fall off. So, similarly, another such example would be if we are trying to row a boat and the boat is anchored. So we're trying to leave this place, but we are anchored with material attachments, and so these material attachments, they are what keep us here, and these are those imperfections with which we are here for. Now, let me see. Another reason, so we in Prabhupada's purport, we see karma also as judging what type of body we will get. So this can explain the present body, and what we do in this body, the present activities, they will define our next body. And that is the principle of karma. And karma and reincarnation, they are very basic principles, basically how the universe works. And science has not yet come to understand even some of those basic principles. They are still debating about the presence of consciousness or the soul, or the mind is still not yet distinguished from us. Reincarnation, it is still a very debatable topic, even though we have many examples of reincarnation. Yeah, reincarnation is, there's books written on it, and also in our scriptures we have stories of reincarnation. We know the story of King Bharata, who got the body of a deer according to his desire. So this, our next body is also defined on our karma and our desires, our conceptions, our misconceptions are taken, and accordingly we are getting a body in order to get rid of these misconceptions. Because this, the goal of this material world is that we get rid of our misconceptions without interfering with our free will at the same time. We get to express our free will, and at the same time Krishna is trying to bring us back to him. Another such example of reincarnation which we find in our scriptures is the Ramachandra when he was in the Dandavakaranya forest, I think, something like this. He met many sages who had the desire to associate with Ram, and a very strong desire to associate with him, which resulted in their next life they became the wives, the queens of Krishna. So as we can see, here is another example of desires ascertaining which type of body we would get in the next life. And so they obviously had good karma and good desires, which resulted in them being married to Krishna. We also have a more contemporary example of reincarnation. Recently on Dandavats, there was this article about this devotee who, this one Mataji, who through, do you know the story, Madhugopal? Yeah. I mean, I know the story more or less, so I can see. You know the name? Anyway, so she was born in India in some Hindu parents, and later on went to England to study and joined the devotees, and she was having a little bit of marriage problems with her husband because she found in herself many some renouncing qualities and a little bit of male qualities, renounced qualities, and also some dreams. And so she, that led her to research a little bit, which resulted in her finding out that in her last life she was named Bhakta so-and-so, I forgot the name, and she was living in England and doing book distribution, and one day these devotees had a car accident, and this Bhakta left his body. This particular Bhakta liked one Mataji in the temple, and so he got this body in his next life, the same body as this Mataji pretty much. And so when this lady, she had gone and done her research, she found out that this Mataji she liked in her last life. And so she went to visit her, and so she looked very much the same, only older. And then after this, she also went to the Sankirtan leader whom she was, as a Bhakta, serving under. And Tribhuvanath, right? And so she continued that service where she really found herself, and thus now like continued that service. So this is a very contemporary example of reincarnation, even within our society. And this gives us also a very nice like, you know, some more proof and understanding of how these things work. As I said, whatever you remember at the time of death, that you become in your next life. And so, yeah, quite a strong example. This is this Bhakta. He liked this girl, and he got that body. And at the same time, they continued the place where devotional service, and which is also expressed in our scriptures, how it's nothing is lost. And so these things continue. So our desire, our karma, our advancement, spiritual advancements, all continue unto the next life. So yeah, also in this purport, in the beginning of the purport, there's mention made of minute independence that we have. That our place in this world is, therefore expressing our independence. All these points here about in the purport could be summed up into emphasizing that we should remember Krishna at the time of death, and we should act in Krishna consciousness, because the consequences are that we take the bodies with whom we think of, or act in which way we act, that's what we become. So all these principles are like servants of the two principles, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So is usually the class till what time? Do you wanna? We can go into questions, maybe. Yes. The small I can say, what I take from this. Is that it's subtle, as aromas are kind of subtle, and nothing really grows, not so visual. So in order to describe something subtle yet tangible in another sense, Krishna gives this example, is my understanding. Because making more subtle, we won't be able to notice it. Something like aroma smells, but we can't see it. So this is already of a more subtle nature. In the same way, when we change bodies, then the subtle body, something which we can't see, is brought and results into a birth of another body. And we also hear how the subtle body is the storehouse of all our desires, etc. And is the what is the small body of a child becomes that slower, and so forth. Another such analogy is, and this would be relating to our minute independence, our free will, is the analogy of the dream. Again, Krishna is pointing out how. So our fault, I mean, it's not Krishna who's making this example, it's our previous acharyas comparing our fall from the spiritual world to a dream state, that we are here in this world is a state like a dream. I find it nice that we get to have dreams in this world, so that we can relate to this example. If we would not have dreams in this world, then it would be difficult to understand a concept where we are feeling like in a dream. You feel the pain, but when you wake up, it's you slightly remember it, But it's not like you felt it. There's no, most of the time, there's no bruises on the body or anything like this. And so it's something separate. At the same time, we really identify while in the dream. And the dream can be very long, but still insignificant once we wake up. So, such an analogy also, Krishna makes many of these nice analogies, what we can relate to. That's the other one. He was not initiated. When he left his body, he was not yet initiated. I'm pretty sure it was that period, yeah. Because now she's at least 25. Yeah. I remember that. You're right. He was... Yes. Yeah, this might be sustaining the point that once we internally accept the spiritual master, then this is already a step. Anyways, this is philosophical speculation. And, yes. In a younger body, or, yeah. Yes. Book distributor, yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, we have Jad Bharat example, and then we have Ajamil examples. So this was another, like, maybe not so bad as Jad Bharat, but quite near to that. And a reminder of how it's consequential what you think of and our attachments here. Yeah, he was a deer that remembered and was associating with devotees. Yeah, so in both cases we can see that it's still merciful. Even the deer is quite merciful, and also this devotee, it's quite, it's consequential, yet still quite positive. I'm not sure. Maybe Hindus, vegetarians, and like that, but I don't. Yeah, no. I mean, they say rich peoples, or when we do have Sukriti after this life, and then we go in a rich people's family or devotee family, Brahmin family, I think they say. So, yeah. Right, so we have... there's some of these misconceptions that we are the enjoyer, the controller, and the friend of all are an example of misconceptions of life. These three examples I find to be at a different degree also, where the enjoyers is less subtle and more of a grosser nature, and the controller slightly subtler, more subtle, and the friend of all even more subtle. I was hearing in a Bhagavatam class how the friend of all is quite a tricky misconception that we have, like in a mode of goodness also, where we charity, and this is a strong attachment, that's philanthropic work would be of that nature. The enjoyer would be pretty gross, Yeah, you don't get so far leading a life where the you know, the highlight is or the goal is to make yourself the enjoyer. The controller, you get slightly better. It might be compared even to the modes, where yeah, controller and passion have some link. And goodness and the friend of all. So this is a tendency, yeah, we also might get stuck into trying to, yet again, all these are the positions of Krishna, the quite unique position of Krishna, where he's the really the enjoyer. We have the analogy of the tree, also the controller. Every action is, the grass doesn't bend without his sanction as Paramatma. And the friend of all, the real friend of all, is Krishna. And so, yeah, some enjoy this position of having, of being the friend of all, seen as a friend of all, and especially for themselves, seen, thinking themselves as the friend of everyone, has some, yeah, enjoyment, rather in the mode of goodness, and therefore more subtle and tricky to perceive, but nevertheless a problem. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we are said to be the friends of all preaching as the highest philanthropic work. But when we confuse ourselves as being the doer of this, and therefore taking the result of the happiness of you know, people seeing you as their friend, a lot of people seeing you as their friend, that's when we make the mistake to, yeah, link it to us as the doers. Yeah, whereas actually we should see us as the via media for Krishna, who is the friend of all, and yeah, we are just an instrument for his yeah, his being the friend of all, actually. Anything else? Yeah? Murugopal? Bhaktaram. Bhaktaram yagetapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvam am shantimrichiti. Yes, so that's the peace from Mila verse, where Krishna is the, yeah, right, the, he's the proprietor, bhakta, so he's the enjoyer of all, yeah, bhaktaram, and as a result of every, all the yajnas are done for him, enjoyer, sarva loka maheshwaram, is the controller of all, yeah, all the planets, right? Sarva loka, all planets. Suridam sarva bhutanam. Yeah, so Suridam is friend. So he's the friend of all bhuta, all living entities. Gyatva, so one who knows this, shantim richati. Jai. Thank you. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you.
Later.